Leading Ideas Talks podcast is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly e-newsletter, Leading Ideas, at churchleadership.com/leadingideas. Leading Ideas Talks is also brought to you by the Taking Church to the Community Video Toolkit. Explore strategies your congregation can use to reach beyond its walls with worship, community events, ministries, and service. Learn more and watch introductory videos at churchleadership.com/shop. How can your congregation connect with new people in both physical and digital spaces? In this episode, Jordana Wright shares creative strategies for transforming congregations into vibrant community hubs.
Welcome to Leading Ideas Talks, a podcast featuring thought leaders and innovative practitioners. I am Douglas Poe, the director of the Lewis Center, and your host for this talk. Joining me is Jordana Wright, managing director of Activate Space. And our focus for this podcast is missional innovation. Jordana, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to talk to you and get an opportunity just to learn more about the work you're doing.
I'm so glad to be here as a guest and talking about my absolute favorite subject. So thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad it's your favorite subject, but before we delve too deep into your favorite subject, can you just share a little bit about yourself and how you really became interested in missional innovation?
Mm-hmm. So my name is Jordana Wright, and I am the founder and managing director of Activate Space, which is a social enterprise that helps congregations excel as community hubs. And in doing that, I utilize a lot of tech tools and platforms and apps and modern communications approaches. And it is viewed as quite innovative within the church world, but I never really sought out to be an innovator or to work in ministry innovation. I sought to serve in the ways that I felt I was uniquely gifted to serve. I sought to bring my unique perspective to the work that I had been doing in the church. And it turns out that those unique gifts and that unique perspective was lacking or absent in many of the churches I would work with. So it was seen as innovation or seen as innovative, but I didn't set out to be. So imagine my surprise when just what came inherent to me and the skills and kind of like the gifts that I felt that I brought to the table were seen as something that just did not quite exist in the way that it should in the church. So I've become this ministry innovator accidentally, I guess.
I like it, an accidental ministry innovator.
Yeah.
Your context, most of our listeners don't know this, but your context is actually north of us in Canada. Can you share a little bit about the challenges some of the congregations are facing in Canada, which will sound very familiar to many of our listeners, but I still think it's important to contextualize sort of where you're doing your work.
Mm-hmm. So I work primarily with congregations of the United Church of Canada, and I think many of the challenges that we're facing, as you said, will sound quite familiar to all of you south of our border, but congregations are shrinking and they're aging, and many of the traditional sources of sustainability, such as tithes and offerings, are no longer enough. They're no longer enough to support the like increasingly complex needs of modern ministry. They're no longer enough to support these large properties and buildings that many churches have been bequeathed as their congregations shrink, and they have to figure out how to make budgets balance. These are things that seem to be happening worldwide these days, but they've created a gap where there are these congregations who are looking for something different and something new and looking for new people to join them on this journey as they cast a bold vision to try to combat some of the challenges that they're facing these days.
And just to stay with that for a second, Are you having a similar problem, particularly with reaching younger people that we will find from many congregations sort of south of you, where the congregations are, we'll say maturing, we won't say getting old, but we'll say they're maturing?
Yeah, it's a very similar situation. I mean, I am considered a young person within the church. I don't feel like a young person, but anyone who is kind of in their 30s and younger is considered a young person in the church. In the world, it's like if you're 20 or younger, you're a young person. But the average age of the folks that I work with and that I collaborate with and that I lead initiatives for are 60s, 70s, 80s, some even 90. And this is an interesting point that perhaps we might circle back to later in the discussion, but a lot of the innovative ministries that I lead, some of my collaborators are quite senior. And within my kind of tech circles and innovation circles, the average age of the folks that are involved in their ventures are kind of like 20, 30 year old kids straight out of college, and I'm collaborating with these 60, 70, 80 year old folks who are like on board for the innovation, who can keep up with a lot of the new technologies and things are coming out. There are, of course, people who are set in their ways within some of these communities, but there's also a ton of folks who are more senior right now in the church who are open to innovation. So I try not to focus so much on the age of the folks when I'm putting initiatives together, but it is very noticeable. Like the average age of folks is quite up there, and there is this need or this desire to connect with more young people. And I think we're hitting a particularly challenging point in time right now, coming off the backs of the pandemic. Everyone's kind of really feeling this lack or this need for fresh eyes, a new vision, young folks. And this is something that a lot of congregations are talking about right now.
I do want to say that I'm not going to be completely insulted when you talked about yourself being older and you used the word 30. I'm not going to take that personally that you made that statement. But as we continue to think about this, can you sort of share then some of the work you're doing with the congregations then of helping them to sort of reach out to new people? Because obviously what's happening is they're sort of becoming internally focused and they've lost sort of the, we'll say the desire to reach out in the community and to connect with new people. So what are some of the ways that you're helping them to think about this differently?
So many ways, but I'll speak to one of my absolute favorite projects, and those are physical community hub building projects where I help churches with buildings under stress or buildings that are underutilized, and I help them kind of bring all kinds of new and diverse folks in their surrounding communities to their doorsteps to join them in visioning around how they might share sacred and communal space together and how they might create this vibrant, sustainable community hub. So for example, with one church, I came up with this dinner concept where there were about 20 neighborhoods surrounding the church and they wanted to find a new way to reach out to young folks in the neighborhood. They wanted to find out a way to get to know their neighbors. So I created a dinner concept where I brought everyone to the table from the church and everyone from all of those 20 neighborhoods surrounding the church. And I started out with finding out who was the key mover and shaker in each of those 20 neighborhoods. I approached that person. I explained that we are trying to build something new, a vibrant community hub right here in this area. And they were so enthusiastic about it. They were so excited about it in ways that church folks don't often think young people would be. I don't know if I made the opportunity sound particularly interesting or exciting, but there was so much excitement around it. And I had each of those 20 core people from each of the neighborhoods surrounding that church that wanted to get to know its neighbors a little better. I asked that person, could you invite 5 more people who you want to get to know a little bit better from your neighborhood to this beautiful dinner that is right next to the church on this beautiful rooftop garden. So I didn't require that they came into worship, sat in pews. It was kind of like a neutral ground that we would all be meeting at. And it was our opportunity to get to know those 20 core people. And then it was that person's opportunity to also pick out 5 people within their neighborhood who they would want to get to know. And they picked heads of just amazing, impactful social organizations and arts groups and local musicians and so many people within the neighborhood. So we had, I guess it was about 6 people from each of the 20 neighborhoods come to dinner. We had a huge community dinner, and it was the opportunity to start a conversation with the neighborhood. It was an opportunity for the church to get to know folks in their surrounding community and share what they're about, and for folks in the community to get to know the church. And this is kind of it's innovative in the sense that it was a fun, like, let's try to figure out how we can get everyone from all of these neighborhoods covered. And it became this whole big community thing where everyone in the neighborhood and everyone in the area was trying to help us make sure that we had all our neighborhoods covered. So it was a fun social media experiment. It was a fun scavenger hunt to find all the people and to bring them to a beautiful secluded rooftop dinner. And it was just, it's just about making things fun, making things exciting, and starting a conversation. And the church and the folks from all these organizations, that was the starting point of their relationship around building the hub, this exciting dinner. We could have just had a meeting where I brought them all to a meeting room and said, please come and sit and we will talk and we will run the numbers and I'll show you the space, but we didn't do that. You have to find these little ways to make things feel special, to make people feel seen by identifying them as like core people within the neighborhood. And that's what I did with the church and trying to bring people to the table. So just take, there has to be joy, there has to be playfulness, there has to be fun, there has to be an aspect of service and kind of a mutually beneficial project on the table to bring all kinds of new people, especially young people. That's one of the core things that they like to see, just authenticity and meaningfulness. And they have to know that there's an impact that will be made from their participation.
So I want to sort of tease out a couple of things you said. And the first is one that I get hit with all the time when I do workshops or presentations. And that is, but how do you actually identify those 20 individuals? And then how did you actually approach those 20 individuals? Because, you know, sort of like, how do we get started? So you knew you wanted to start with the 20, but how did you identify them? And then sort of, you talked a little bit about it, but, you know, what was the approach to actually say, hey, we're trying to do something here. Are you willing to come aboard?
Mm-hmm. A ton of research, a ton of just experience doing this work of community building. So I had a good sense of like who does what in each neighborhood and each of the major cities in Toronto. I make sure to keep tabs on that sort of thing. But if you're starting from scratch, it starts with listening. It starts with reaching out broadly and speaking to everyone, because there are people that if they had to identify 20 people, they would just identify 20 of their best friends. They would be afraid to approach someone that they had never spoken to before. And that's what this required. So I tried to make it special and exciting. Again, I'm all about making people feel included and making them feel like they're a part of something special and a part of a bold story. So I printed out these little golden tickets, Willy Wonka style, and I went to each of those community leaders and I presented them with a physical golden ticket. And I explained to them what the concept was. I explained to them that we have all of these unique facilities that we're trying to make available more broadly to a lot of the communities that they serve. So for example, the community of emerging musicians who were quite well known, I explained to them the fact that performance venues are closing left and right and they're very expensive. We have these beautiful sanctuary performance spaces that we would like to make more available to you and the local music community. And that is something very tangible, something that makes sense for them to participate in. So it's not just, we're going to talk about it. It's, this is what we're doing. Join us in this. This is going to happen. We're going to do this. And a lot of people didn't realize, a lot of the musicians didn't realize that church spaces could be available in that way, especially sanctuaries. And it was so interesting to explain to them that like sanctuaries are made for music. A lot of the spaces, just architecturally, they have natural acoustics and music and song is a powerful form of prayer and petitioning God. And like these spaces are made for music and to be filled with what it is that you are uniquely gifted in doing and what it is that you offer. So there always has to be a very real, tangible value that you're providing others. Sometimes we can ask without thinking about what it is that we're willing to give or give up or how we're willing to join alongside others. So I think there it often starts with this just process of thinking through what it is that you want out of the new relationship and how you're able to contribute in a very real way and not just ask of others and ask others to come to you and sit in your pews. Like, what is it that you're offering the community in terms of your impact?
And I think that's important because often in congregations, we come across like we just want you to come to help us pay the bills, or we just are trying to get you here to benefit what we're trying to do. But the approach that you sort of took with the community is we want to be beneficial to you. So work with us and helping us to think about how we can make that happen. And I absolutely love the golden tickets. That was a really creative touch.
It was very dramatic and very hard to say no to. And techniques.
I want to continue to talk about space, but I want to move it to the virtual space because you talked sort of about physical space and sort of how you helped to reach out to new people. But because of the pandemic, of course, and even before the pandemic, we probably should have been thinking about this. Now virtual space is so critically important. So how are you helping people to rethink virtual space and reaching new people using virtual space?
So the pandemic was a huge time of pivoting for me personally and for many churches. My work had been for so long just about gathering large numbers of people in physical space, bringing them to the doorsteps of these churches to try to create these vibrant community hubs. And at a time where I couldn't fill spaces with people, at a time where churches couldn't fill spaces with people, we had to take a moment and really think, what next? We need to continue to do the work. This is the work that we do in terms of how we serve. And what will that look like at a time where we can't gather? What does it look like to build community at a time when you can't gather? And for me, I got to work developing platforms and tools and opportunities that would allow people to engage with meaningful online experiences outside of gathering in physical space. And when I say online experiences and I speak of digital ministry, oftentimes people envision, okay, digital ministry, that is just service is going on and someone is filming it and streaming it to Facebook, or service is going on and we're all sitting in a Zoom room and kind of just watching it. But the online experiences that I've created have been a little bit more active than that. And they've been beyond Sunday, and they've also been hybrid in nature. So they brought together the physical and the digital world. And I'll give you an example of one of my favorite online initiatives, my favorite online experiences that were really about community building, bringing folks together in the church. And that is a national walking challenge that I did for the United Church of Canada and all of the community members that I'd worked with over the years, and new folks as well. So essentially what I did is I designed an experience where folks were encouraged to connect with one another online through a shared app. And at the same time, we would be challenging each other to walk every day, and we would have prizes, and every day it was a different sort of challenge. And so we were encouraged to get out in our own respective contexts, in our own neighborhood, walk around the block, get some fresh air. If we weren't mobile or able to get out, open up the blinds, get some sun on your face, some fresh air, and just get moving. And then at the same time, make sure that you're connecting with people on the app. So that is digital in nature. It's about digital church and digital community building, but it's not just live streaming worship. It's a form of fellowship. It's a form of being together that is hybrid in nature. And it's beyond that. And it's beyond Sunday. And Sunday is so important. Worship is so important. But I think when we're designing these digital opportunities and digital ministry, we need to think more broadly. And that was just such a great opportunity to get people out of the house that were feeling down and isolated and like they had no one to talk to. And these were folks who were talking with people within the church in other provinces through the app. They were sharing what their days looked like as they walked their communities. They were connecting with people they had never thought to connect before. And at the same time, because it's me and I like to have special things, we had all kinds of special, amazing prizes, and the challenges were big. We had the challenge of, for example, walking across all of Canada during Lent. So our collective steps together had to match the distance across Canada. So everyone was in it and motivated and incentivized and working together and talking with people and sharing their lives with people. And my online ministry is so much about doing everyday life together. So yes, worship, yes, live streaming, yes, Zoom, but also how can we use digital tools to do everyday life together? And that's what I'm all about in terms of these online experiences.
So in the example you just gave, certainly it sounds like they were connecting with others throughout sort of Canada who were in the church, but were they also inviting people outside of the church to sort of walk and participate, which of course would then, you know, really help them to connect with people who were out in the community?
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I forgot to make that point. That was the biggest part. There were so many people that were so interested in it because it was so different or unusual. You as a group are walking across Canada with people from different provinces, and there are a ton of people who weren't members of the church. There are a ton of young people that were like, yeah, I want to get involved in this. This is so interesting. Even the moderator of the United Church was also a part of the walking challenge. He's kind of the most senior elected official within the United Church of Canada. So he got in on the walking challenge, and everyone from coast to coast was just participating. A ton of people who had nothing to do with the church stumbled across the walking challenge, and they were like, this is incredible. Please do this again. Like, this got me up and it got me going at a time when I was down. I was able to find community. I was able to meet people. We were especially at a time in the pandemic when a lot of people were feeling so, so disconnected, and we're all trying to figure out like and find meaning in the absence of community that is physical in nature. And this just filled an important need at the time. And it's something that, again, everyone can participate in. Like, the bar of entry is so low. You just got to move a little. Like, you don't have to trek all the way down to a church building and sit in pews. You just got to get moving, or you just have to talk with people on the app. And that's the entry point to start the relationship with no expectations, no motives. It's just trying to find a way to bring people together to naturally and meaningfully be in community with one another, whether they're a part of the church or not. And many were not a part of the church. And we're so just surprised that these were the sorts of things that church folk did together. Like, they first, when they saw that it was a United Church walking challenge, they didn't understand that it was a church for whatever reason. I guess they missed that part, but they were just so excited to be involved. And then as they found out about who many of the members in the challenge were, a lot of folks approached me about getting involved in helping to coordinate these initiatives. And often people think young people aren't interested in being a part of the church. And I don't know if I just make the church and the work that I do sound particularly exciting. I need to be like an unofficial recruiter for the United Church, but there are a ton of people who work in tech and the medical field and across so many different fields who have approached me and seeing my work and have asked, how can I get involved in the church? How can I do this work too? And they just don't know what that would look like for them and if there's a place for their gifts within the church at all.
I'm talking with Jordana Wright, who is a missional innovator, particularly in the context of Canada. And I want to just ask if you have any other sort of thoughts or ideas for people as we sort of enter into this space of where more and more individuals are going to be doing hybrid ministry. So I really appreciate the sort of integration of thinking about digital just beyond Zoom and streaming. Are there other thoughts that you would like to share?
Yes. So one of the things that I think is so important is before you jump into hybrid ministry or before you jump into thinking about what you're going to do online, really do a bit of a visioning process with your church and figure out what you're trying to achieve through this online ministry. Like, online is real ministry. It is in itself, in and of itself, a ministry, and it should be taken as that. It should be staffed like that. You shouldn't be afraid to bring in expertise where needed. There are very real skill sets that go into crafting these sorts of virtual experiences and these kinds of opportunities. And one of the things that I developed in the midst of all of this to help folks vision is this coffee hour ministry development card set. I used to do these strategic planning meetings with all of the churches that I had worked with, and there was an increasing need for it. So I developed this fun card game that can take churches through the process of figuring out, okay, where are we? What do we need to do online, or what do we need to do to attract new and different people? What does that look like? So I always recommend starting with a visioning process, a strategic planning process, but don't get so caught up in thought experiments and visioning. There has to be action behind that, and you have to get moving. But take a moment to, instead of just going to Zoom or going to live streaming worship again, which can be part of the overall strategy, think about it as a broader ministry that you're building out, a broader set of experiences that you're building out online. How can you greet and receive these people online as you would receive someone who walked through the front door of your church? So these are all kinds of things that you have to think about. How can you engage with them throughout the week and not just on Sundays? What does that look like? What are special opportunities to do that? So these are things you have to be mindful of. And these are things that you have to really sit down and cast a bold vision around and not just let happen as they happen. You have to really think about this in a very thoughtful way.
Thank you. As we get ready to come to a close, I want to end because I know this is a particular challenge for many congregations, and that's size. So when people hear particularly not only physical space, but also virtual space, they start thinking we need lots of people to do and make things happen. But the reality is most congregations are smaller in size. So have you worked with smaller congregations, and how do you help them given that the resources are more limited in smaller congregations?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the key things when you're a smaller congregation, you have to be able to make use of tools that amplify your impact or amplify your work to make, or your effort to make a larger impact, I should say. So you have to rely on tools that amplify your efforts to make a larger impact. So these can be things like online platforms, like the Activate Space platform that I developed with a lot of larger churches who have hired me to do this work. These projects can be quite costly, but now there are platforms that exist, like the Activate Space platform that I built, that you can just log on to, and people within your neighborhood can just, with the click of the button, get involved in your church. And these are young people, innovative people, just like me, except in your own local neighborhood, who are looking for organizations to work with exactly like your church. So you have to be able to put yourself out there, and you have to find those tools and those opportunities that give you leverage, or leverage in the sense of amplifying your impact and making sure that you're not trying to do it all on your own and relying on experts when you can, because experts will make every dollar count. I know it's hard when you have a small budget to look towards other people who have an expertise in this sort of work, but when you take that step, it actually ends up saving you money because they make every dollar count instead of you sort of running in circles trying to figure out what works best and reinventing the wheel. If someone has a model that works, snag them up and have them be a part of your initiative. Find a way to get them on staff or as a consultant, or don't be afraid to rely on outside expertise, because this is a very particular set of skills around doing these projects. And that's not just employing someone's like teenage nephew who's good at TikTok and online digital stuff and Instagram, like this is a very real skill set that for me involves like a decade of expertise. And for a lot of people, I've seen the ups and downs and I know the things that work best. So find those people in your own context who have those expertise. They'll make your dollar stretch. And secondly, of course, find the platforms and tools that just exponentially increase your efforts and your impact. So those are the two main things that I always advise for churches that have a smaller budget or sometimes in rural settings or remote settings where they have a smaller congregation. Like these are the things that we can all do and that don't cost very much.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your insights and your wisdom. And it's been great having this conversation with you.
It's been so great speaking with you. And I have to add, this is one of my favorite podcasts. And when I told some of my colleagues in ministry I would be on it, they were quite excited. So you do have a very large and thriving Canadian audience as well.
Well, good. And now they're going to get to hear you on the podcast.
Yeah, they're waiting. They're excited.
Thanks for joining us for Leading Ideas Talks.